The following is a fast-paced version of our appearance in Waynesville on the Whirlwind Tour. Enjoy.
Yeah, most people aren't doing things about these injustices, and you could go on, we would call them pity parties, where people all stand around and complain about this injustice and that injustice, and it is important to know it. It is important to speak out about it. But what do you do about it? This is what I hear everywhere. People are wondering, what do we do? People who want to do, they don't know. There's no shepherd. But there is a shepherd. He was Christ. He was telling us. But we haven't been told what he was actually doing. He was actually a king. You know, it's not this Good Samaritan concept. How many people are gathering together to take care of that widow and orphan? Who's taking care of them? Who's supplying the money? We don't even have an avenue to do that. I'll bet you if you went to their church and you say, oh, Pastor, are you taking care of them? He'll say, well, no, they should go on welfare. Well, why should they go on welfare? Why don't they go to church? That's what the early church did. The early church, you read it, Justin's apology to the emperor of Rome. He says, we gather together and those that have share with those that don't have. Now, why is he writing the emperor of Rome and telling him that? Because Christians were in trouble because they were idiotas, non-participators in the system of social welfare in Rome, because the system of social welfare in Rome operated by money that was collected into their temples at the point of a sword. It was a tax. It was a compelled offering. It was not a free will offering. And Christ said it was to be a free will. He told you how a good government operates. How much do you owe in taxes? Peter would say to the people who were Christians. They were in the temple daily. That's where you collect the taxes. And the apostles are saying, how much do you owe? And they say, well, I owe this much. Well, how much can you pay? I can only pay this much, paid in full. Jesus has a whole parable about that. He's talking about government. The Bible is about government. It mentions religion five times, four times in a bad sense. The religion of the Pharisee. What was the religion of the Pharisee? We force you to pay into the treasury. And we tell you how much. And if you don't, we arrest you. And Jesus said, no. If you do that, you know what will happen to your society? You will have people that will close the door, who will complain about stuff and do nothing about it. There'll be people raped in your streets and nobody will do anything. They'll shut their windows, they'll shut their doors, and they'll say, that's not my business. Because it hasn't been their business. We are creating a society there where there is no hue and cry at injustice.
Creating?
Well, yeah, I agree. I'm being nice. I'm a nice guy.
I remember hearing about the person laying there bleeding. New York City, and everybody walks over.
Yeah. Stepping over them.
Now you don't have to go to New York City. You can go to rural America.
Right.
Every day.
There was a fire come through our valley. It burned the forest all over there. The neighbors got together, and they put fire lines around. There were neighbors standing between the flames when the deck behind them was smoking. The windows broke. That we backed off when the windows were breaking, but the house didn't burn up. The Forest Service, who was the ones who were supposed to be putting out the fire, had the police come down there and threatened to arrest. One cop was sent over by the Forest Service to pick on one of the ranchers there, actually a couple of them over there, and one of the bigger ones. I won't say what his name is in case this ever gets out, but I don't think he'd care. But he walked up to the cop, and the cop said, you know, you're not supposed to be doing this. And he walked up to the cop, and he stood in front of him, and he was about this high over the cop. And he says, so what are you going to do about it? You want to arrest me? Go ahead and arrest me. Arrest me for saving my neighbor's house. I mean, they actually came and they wanted to evacuate me. And I said, I'm not going anywhere. And I said, I'm going to be right here. My house is the safest place in all the valley because I'm completely surrounded by green and I'm way away from the forest. And I have underground tanks that supply water even when the power was out, which was already out by then. And he says, well, you have to evacuate if we say. And I said, no, I don't. I don't have to evacuate. Besides, Every fire truck that's in the valley has asked to park in my field if the fire blows up. And if you evacuate me, who's going to bring them coffee?
Donuts.
You're going to be answerable to those firemen. I'm going to tell them, I couldn't bring you coffee because he made me evacuate. And he walked away. I was actually being a little bit funnier about it at the time. But anyway, the point is that we're not used to doing that. We used to. We used to be Minutemen for each other. This is what made this country great. We came to each other's aid. We were there for each other. And the only way to do that is to create a network where you know who each other is. And most of the people out there don't want to be a part of this network. They're not awake yet. They don't understand this contractual nature of government. They're not thinking outside the box. Some of you are thinking outside the box. Some of you got your head way out of the box. Some of you are climbing over the edge. Most of those people don't even know there's a box. That legal box, that plastic bag, it's a see-through plastic bag, and they look out and we're free.
Fish in the water.
But they never try to swim beyond the bag. Because they're comfortable. 5% of the Roman Empire was Christian. At the most. 5%. Yet it had such a profound effect that Constantine wanted to emulate Christianity 300 years later. I tell you, it's like Gideon's army. If we will do it, it doesn't matter the numbers. And besides that, these people will wake up, some of them. There will be foolish virgins. You know, I mean, Jesus is a loving God, but yet he talks about the foolish virgins knocking on the door and they not opening up. But the fact is, you know, if they will change and they will wake up, great. People are waking up. This is the good news. I mean, I had goose pimples in Texas. And I don't get goose pimples very often. That's not that bad. But, I mean, these people are waking up. They're saying all the time, this is speaking to me. I don't know how many times I've heard on this trip, I have been waiting for this all my life. Now, I don't know if it's true. I don't know how much is written on their heart. I don't know. I know what I have to do. I have to go around and tell people. I have to link people up. And then, but you have to build it. If we get notoriety, we get this message out on a big radio station or in big media, people are going to be calling up and saying, how do I find other people? I'm not going to put everybody's name on the internet. I'm not going to create a register. That's not the way a network works. Christianity was cell groups. You say that, suddenly everybody gets excited. But it was this network. That's the way it works.
It was cell groups, not cell mates, right?
Well, there were a few cell mates. I mean, Christ went to jail. Peter went to jail. But it's intimate brotherhoods. It's families within families within families. You know, that's why that's what it is. It's government imitates families. Pilate saith unto him, what is the truth? This will be kind of interesting. My kingdom is not of this world. You're going to hear this all the time. My kingdom is not of this world. What world was Jesus talking about? The planet?
The legal world.
Cosmos. Who said that? Is that you?
Yeah.
Did you get that from reading my stuff? You do that on your own?
No,
that's all. Okay. Was it this world?
No.
Was it this world? Was it that world? Okay. 4 to 5 different words in the Bible that are translated into world. One is aeon, means age, broken, unbroken age. The other one is ekomene, and they had different meanings over a period of time. Originally in the Greeks, it meant the Greeks, where they lived. The Romans, when they started using it, it's where they lived. On one side of the wall were the Romans, the other side were the barbarians. The barbarians weren't in ekomene. That's the way they use the word. But that wasn't the word either. But gay was another word, land, as opposed to water, dry land. But the word was cosmos, as he said. Cosmos, at the time, it meant the discipline of an army, and next, the order constitution of a state. Right out of the concordance, it meant an apt and harmonious arrangement or constitution, order, or government. Pontius Pilate was sitting in the judgment seat. He was sitting in the judgment seat because that's why Rome was invited there as a peacekeeping force to determine who was the king. There had been no king in Jerusalem since Herod had died. And he had murdered his own son, executed his own son by permission of Rome because his son tried to usurp authority. The rest of the kingdom was in the hands of Herod Antipas, and the other third was in the hands of Philip, but nobody in that kingdom, part of the kingdom where Jerusalem was. They're still fighting over who runs Jerusalem. I mean, you talk about history. Libya. Why was Rome in the area to come to Judea? Because of the dang pirates in Libya. Why did the halls of Montezuma, the shores of Tripoli, because of the pirates in Libya? Why did Reagan send troops over there? Because of the pirates in Libya. There's pirates in Libya. Get used to it. Forget about going over there. But they're going over there. They're actually going over there because it's one of the largest aquifers in that area of the world. And water is going to be one of the most important things coming up. I don't know how many people know where the other largest aquifer, the largest aquifer in the world is, and who's buying up all the land over there?
Bush.
Yeah. Mooney's. Yeah. They're all, it's one of the largest. Water is going to become a very important thing. It was the last time we had a plague when we were in Egypt. It's going to be a very important thing now. If you lose power in this country, all power in this country, is there anything that could make you lose all power worldwide, at least on one whole side of the planet, in a minute? EMP? You know, who can make the biggest EMP in the world?
The sun.
Right now, NASA, National Academy of Sciences, Kaku, all kind, who's a major physicist, and there's physicists all over. I've been saying it for a dozen years. See, mega flare hit this planet, which is likely to happen in the next 3 years over any other time in the last 50 years because of standard things that happen on a regular basis, and shift happens. You will lose power. 80 to 90% of all power in the United States, and it's not coming back for 6 months to a year. You have to replace the generators. They melt down into balls of copper. We don't make those generators anymore. Who makes the generators?
China.
Do they make them way ahead and have them all stockpiled on shelves? They make them to order. How long does it take to make a generator? 6 months.
And you got to ship it.
And if there's no power in China, they ain't making it.
Do they only burn out when they're running?
You could actually shield them and disconnect them, and they could survive. But if they're hooked up to the wires, the charge becomes so great in the backlog that it will just melt them down. But you would have to know, and the fact is they'll know when the CME comes. It takes 24 hours, 48 hours to get here. A CME caused the Japanese earthquake. We told people about it the day before. We have videos up on the net saying there's expected a big earthquake in Japan based on looking at the sun alone. I have the videos here. I can show you. They're already loaded up on YouTube ahead of time. I talked to people on the phone. We know people in Japan. They had 6 months of stuff stacked up underneath their beds and everything else. And they were on the other side of Japan. Japan's three plates coming together. That's why there is a Japan. They're all crashing into each other right there. Japan's going to see nothing but earthquakes here. But we're getting to the scary stuff. Yeah, well, there's going to be some of that, too. They went down quite a bit.
Yeah, 8 foot in one area.
Yeah. 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 Okay. What would happen if Florida went down 8 feet?
Better have a snorkel. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing.
The thing is, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son that they might be saved. We have to have the same attitude. But we're not here to save everybody who wants to be a drug addict, a lazy bum, but we want to save those that hear His voice. You know, and I believe I'm saying what Christ said. I believe I'm saying what the prophet said. And I could be totally delusional, and you should probably all edge for the door. But if you hear what I say and it rings in your heart, then you got to get together. The important thing is not that you know me, that you know each other. And that you find all the other people out there that will hear this message and begin to come. And there's also the extended network. There are people that Christ says, come into the kingdom. He says, why us? They don't know they're Christians. They don't know they believe in Jesus. They didn't profess Jesus. They're saying, why us? That's what it says. They wouldn't say that if they thought they were saved. But he says, come into the kingdom anyway. And he says, why? Because you helped the least of my brethren. You gave me drink when I was thirsty. And that may be a big thing. You gave me clothes when I was hungry, and you visited me when I was in jail. So that tells you that his brethren might end up in jail from time to time. Because they don't like you when you point out that they're in error. They don't like that. They didn't like it when Jesus did it. They're not going to like it when we did it. But I'm not interested in pointing out people who are in error. I'm interested in people who want to do the right thing. And we've been led away, slowly edging away from the right thing. So now good men are going to jail because they stood up for what's right. And people are going in their house and saying, that's a shame. What's on TV? That's not enough. It's got to be, that's a shame. Let's do something about it. Let's get together with this community. Let's find out what... We had a snowstorm go through the Midwest and our little tiny network. We've only been networking for a year. In our little tiny network, they were calling everybody that was in the network. How'd you do during the storm? They were all okay. We had the floods in Australia. They called everybody that was in the network in the flooded area. They were all okay. Dry land, plenty of food, plenty of water. They were all ready. They were actually looking around for people they could help. And they says, well, we couldn't help anybody. They called up. They were ready. You'll get your chance. Trust me. Anyway, we already talked about religion. Five words translated religion and pure religion is undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit. And that visit means to take care of. Doesn't just say stop by and say hi. The fatherless, meaning fatherless, those people who their family is so injured that they don't have anybody to take care of them. And the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. What world? Again, which world? Aeon, Ekumene. It's that constitutional order or system of government, because he won't apply to Rome for medical care. Universal health care in Rome. It wasn't universal at the time that was said, but it was shortly after it was. But they had a healthcare system. You know, that sign that was on the top, that was of the cross. This is what was written on it. You always see, they show you a crucifix and they got, you know, a couple of letters on there. And it's always a broken board up there. And I think that is such a travesty, because they have known for years, it says right in the Bible, it said in three lines, this is the King of Judea. It was written by the procurator of Rome. It was an official document. He's the king. These are his servants. This is a government. At Pentecost is when you elected all your government servants in Judea. I was telling you, the string whip, they fired the money changers on tax day. They were expected to collect by 1982 value of silver. They would have brought in $76 million in silver. By today's standard, that would be more than double, probably triple that. Their cut would have been $9 million in 1982 dollars. And Jesus just fired them. They're not going to get that. Unless they get rid of this Jesus guy, who's standing in the gastophone. In the Greek it says gastophone. That's in the treasury. Instructing the ministers. He's the king. Only the king could do that. Only the king could fire the money changers. Somehow or other, we think he's an itinerant preacher going around in sandals just giving people good ideas. He's the king of the kingdom of God on earth. And he's taking the kingdom away from guys who had turned it into forced contributions, moved away from free will offerings, was no longer bearing fruit, and saying, I'm going to give it to a group that's going to bear. That's one of the things they said first off is this man spoke with authority. He's the king. But he did have lots of supporters. I mean, they hailed him. The people were crying out. They wanted the people to stop doing it. But so what did they have to do? They have to kind of sneak around with subterfuge. Pilate was on Jesus' side. He never thought that they would pick Jesus Barabbas to let go. He thought for sure they'd want to crucify him, but follow the money. They were more afraid of losing the money than having Jesus Barabbas, a zealot who had sworn their death, free. It's money, power, greed. He was a king. That was written on ebony wood and plaster. I already told you about John the Baptist. This is the word Corban written on a stone. It's written backwards. If you read Hebrew, you can probably make it out. But I don't know if I should tell you all about the olives. Here, this is an interesting point. That's a pipeline that is carved. You fit the pieces together and you bring water into the city. It was actually carved at the time of Jesus Christ, and it was funded by money from the temple. And when they put it together and brought water in, there were riots in the streets. People were so upset that they had done this. Why? Because they got fresh water? That was a good idea. It was a good thing to have fresh water. But where did they get the money? They got it from the money that was set aside for Corban, for their Social Security. They were pilfering the Social Security funds rather than have a separate fund just for the pipeline. And they were worried there wouldn't be any money left in their Social Security. And so they were rioting. And so Pontius Pilate sends a bunch of soldiers down dressed as civilians. And at a single signal, they pull out their clubs and they beat people until some of them died in order to restore order. And the fact is, Pilate actually regretted that later. But it's mentioned by Christ. But that's what he's talking about. Because your Social Security is supposed to be each other. Not a common treasury. You're the precious pearls and gold nuggets of the kingdom. You are to invest in each other and be bound by love for one another. And you could do it. Just like the Oregon disaster team. They're doing what, on almost nothing, they're doing what FEMA couldn't do. And the fact is that people, and I believe people are waking up. I believe they are waking up all over this country. They're just not hearing this message. Golden calf. What was a golden calf? Golden calf, they took their rings off. They pounded it out. They made this statue, and they put it in the middle of the deal. And according to painters, they danced around in skimpy outfits. According to Hollywood, they were really skimpy outfits. But there's a golden statue, and that's in a temple. What was that doing there? There's a golden statue that was in Athens. What was that? That's called, actually not Athens, but it's similar to what was in Athens. I didn't get a picture of the one that was in Athens, but the one in Athens was called the Reserve Fund. That's what they called it, the Reserve Fund. They actually sawed off pieces of it from time to time when they needed extra money. That's the bank. They didn't have a vault. So, you know, if they find somebody sawing the horn off the golden calf, he's robbing the bank. Now, why put all the money in the bank? You can't even spend it like that. Well, that's good. You can't spend it. But if you leave town, say Amalekites, Malachites are coming over the hill, and you say, oh my gosh, there's a lot of them, and they got all these sharp things, and I'm leaving out of here. You got your gold in your pocket and your silver in your pocket, and you're leaving. But you didn't have your gold in the pockets and the darn golden calf, and you're walking around with scarabs as money. Useless paper, clay coins. So you have to stay to be loyal to the gold because that's your wealth. Moses said, no, don't bind yourselves together with central banks. Bind yourself together with love for one another. That's what you have to do. That's a little harder. Takes more time. You got to spend, you know, that temple at Ephesus. The apostles were accused of robbing the temple at Ephesus. Built by 127 different countries, sat over 20,000 people who were stockholders in the temple at Ephesus, minted coin, had that most secure vault in all of the Mediterranean, and was the underwriter for the system of Corban for every single country in the Pax Romana. And the apostles were accused of robbing it? Were they in there breaking into the vault? They were pulling members away. It was going bankrupt anyway. They were actually, I'll tell you a lot more about it in some of the books, but the point is this was the World Bank. And the Christians were accused of robbing it. Now, who was becoming Christians? Well, there were poor people becoming Christians, but also the most industrious, self-starting, hardworking people were becoming Christians. And all the people living on welfare, there's 75% of the people in my county get a government check every month. Over 50% of the people in Oregon get a government check every month. So, anyway, there's another temple. You know what temple that is? Well, it's actually U.S. Treasury, I think. But that's a temple, too, the Federal Reserve. If you were Why were Christians persecuted under Marcus Aurelius? Marcus Aurelius was considered the golden age of Rome, one of the best emperors in all of Rome. You read his meditations of Marcus Aurelius, he sounds like a Presbyterian minister. Talks about responsibility and loyalty and all these wonderful traits. But he persecuted Christians more than any other emperor officially. More than Trajan, more than Hadrian. Actually, those guys said, leave the Christians alone. Why did he do it? He passed a law that you had to register your children at birth within 30 days. Christians would not register their children because where did you register them? At a government building called the Temple of Saturn. That's what these temples were. They were government buildings. That was the Bureau of Vital Statistics. Why did they want to register them? Well, they were borrowing money against them. But the other reason is because they wouldn't know when to give you benefits. They had to know how old you were. Who were your parents? Were you eligible for the benefits? I got more pamphlets out there. Called No Man Father would be a very interesting pamphlet to you read if you want to know more about that. All that's free on online. Jesus said, call no man on earth father, but my father. He said, pray to your father who art in heaven. At that time, anybody in that crowd knew exactly what he was talking about. Nobody in these crowds today knows what he's talking about because your ministers aren't telling you. If you addressed a senator of Rome, you addressed him Patri Cicero, Father Cicero. If you addressed the emperor, it was Patronus, our father, who art in Rome. That's what they're talking about. Call no man father. You're not supposed to be getting your benefits and your daily bread from those guys. Those are the guys who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. They only give you what they take away from your neighbor. Didn't start that way, but that's the way it ended up. Augustus Caesar financed half the welfare in Rome out of his own personal pocket at first. Later on, it was time to contribute. That destroys society. People say, oh, welfare costs so much. These people are taking so much money on welfare. That's so terrible. I mean, it's costing me all this money in taxes. That's not the problem. The problem is it costs you in integrity. It costs you in your soul and in your spirit because you're not thinking about your neighbor as much as you're thinking about yourself. People say, how do I get out? Don't ask how you can get out. Ask how you can get your neighbor out. You can get your neighbor out by starting to love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, it's easy to sit in a pew and say, yeah, I love you. I love you. I love you. But don't call me tomorrow because I'm busy. Love is an action word. Faith is an action word. Belief is an action word. You can't do enough to earn salvation. That's a modius. That's a measurement of modius. It's actually a lot bigger than that. This is not to scale. It would hold about 30 pounds of wheat. At the time of Jesus Christ, it cost 6 denarii. They would be normally about the size of a dime. By Diocletian, it cost 120,000 denarii. I couldn't find a stack of coins that was 120,000. That's not nowhere near 120,000. It would cost you 120,000 denarii for the same sack of wheat. Why? No more silver in the denarii. They were more than clipping. They actually made iron coin. Yeah, and like ironclad coin that you have in your pocket. Yeah, well, sorry, not your pocket. People say, oh, silver and gold, we're going to cast that in the streets. Prophecy says we're going to cast all our silver and gold away. I said, you got silver and gold in your pocket? No. I says, I guess you threw yours away already. The Bible says just weights and measures. This is the result of not having just weights and measures. We don't even have clad coin in our pocket half the time. We have credit cards. Somebody asked me in, where was I? Omaha. And he said, what about capitalism? I said, well, we haven't capitalism in this country since 1913. They almost stood up and applauded. They were applauding. We have debtism. This country was the greatest country in the world, but it's been doing a lot of stuff that ain't so great. You're not going to turn it around overnight. Most of what you're going to learn, you're going to learn during hard times, just like the Israelites in Egypt. It's an on-the-job training. But it's got to start somewhere. The longest journey starts with the first step. And that step should be towards the kingdom. That's the book, Higher Liberty. Higher Liberty is in response to Romans 13. Let every man remain subject to the higher power. You look up the word exousia, even in the regular concordance, it means the right to choose. It's translated liberty in Corinthians. It's translated right in several other, but there they translate it power in Romans 13. That's okay. Look up the definitions of power. It's not electrical power. What kind of power is it? It's definition number 6 in an unabridged dictionary, the right to choose. If you look up, if you ask Aristotle, if you ask other philosophers of the time, people who spoke Koine Greek, what that word meant, they'll tell you it is the strongest word in the Greek language for liberty. It supersedes Eleutheria, which is the other word. Let's put the word liberty there like it's in Corinthians. Let every man remain subject to the higher liberty. The word higher there actually means original. Let every man remain subject to the higher right to choose, the higher liberty, because all liberty is of God. There is no liberty but of God, and anyone who opposes liberty opposes God. That's what it says. The right to choose. Who gave you the right to choose? That you are endowed by your Creator with the right to choose. Unless you contract it away by making covenants. Or applying for benefits. Or accepting benefits. If we were doing what the church was doing in the first century, nobody would have applied to the government for benefits. Nobody would even look. They'd say, well, why do we want to join that program? We'd go to church. But suddenly church got distracted. Apathy comes from affluence. What was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? In a time of affluence, they did not strengthen the poor. In the time of affluence, we have weakened the Christian. By saying it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods through the agency of government. This is kind of a hard message. You know, I've been in big, big churches, but I've never been in big, big churches twice.
What can you expound on how we are coveting our neighbor's goods and that aspect of things?
Well, you know, recently we've seen, with Obama, I don't want to pick on Obama. He's a victim of our sloth. He wouldn't even exist except for we haven't been doing what Christ said, what God said, what Moses said. And the fact is people, they've all seen it. You know, he's talking about these, you know, free health care and everything, and we call it redistribution of wealth. Yeah, he's giving my money away. I mean, it's not a complicated mechanics. He's not taking money out of his pocket. He's taking money out of your pocket and out of your neighbor's pocket and your neighbor's neighbor's pocket. And then he will give that to you. That's a sin by the Ten Commandments. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He didn't do away with the Ten Commandments. God hasn't changed. And evidently we haven't changed. Because we keep doing it. That's Cecil B. DeMille's at the beginning of the movie Moses. I remember that when I was a little kid. And what did he say in that speech? He said, are men the property of the state? Or are they free souls under God? This battle continues throughout the world today. This is not a new battle. We've just been asleep. If you look up the word employ in Clark's Summary of U.S. American Law, which you heard me mention earlier, you look it up in the index, it says, see master servant. All employee laws were laws in Rome to protect the slaves of Rome from people dumping them out on the streets when they were done with them. And of course, so they passed laws that you can't just dump them out. He's your slave. He's your responsibility. Yeah, you know, I told somebody earlier, it was you, I said, if before I'll hire anybody, my wife's got to give birth to him first. You know, because I'm not getting into that master-slave relationship where I'm at. I mean, there's people going around saying I don't have to pay income tax. Because there's no law that says I have to pay income tax. They call it the 861 argument. Well, the fact is, there was another, Rousseau had a thing coming out. Remember do you remember what that was called?
Freedom
to Fascism. And, I love those guys because I love everybody, but the fact is they're wrong. You pay income tax because you signed up for Social Security. That's when wages and salaries became liable to income tax, when you signed up. And you signed up because you were a 14th Amendment citizen, and they gave you that opportunity of signing up. And so therefore, you have to pay a Social Security tax, which guarantees no benefits, and you have to pay income tax. And we go through it in Employee versus Enslaved. I got the pamphlet out there called No Man Father. I got the Employee versus Slave. And did you expect the Pharaoh to be nice? Okay. Okay.
No, I understand.
Okay. I agree. It's a catch-22, but the point is, what I'm saying is that they say only federal employees are liable for income tax. This is the conclusion by lawyers who go and study those statutes, and they're absolutely true. Only federal employees are liable for income tax. But how many people have a federal employee identification number? You got one. That's what it's called. And again, you read Call No Man Father, you actually have to start accepting benefits. And if you build the right network and you get the right people, you will have places to go to have birth to your child. My children were all born in hospitals.
No, I know.
It's a big problem. But the point is that it's about, you're a federal employee. My father, I asked him when I was 9 years old. This is one of the Kodak moments. I said, Dad, who do you work for? He said, until July 1st, I worked for the federal government.
Yeah. 6 months.
Because he was in a 50% income tax bracket. He says, until July 1st, I worked for the federal government. After that, I worked for myself. You work for McDonald's for the first 2-3 hours of the day, you're flipping them burgers for the federal government. Everything, every value of every ounce of sweat you give off will be gathered up by somebody with a federal employer identification number and sent to the federal government. You're in a Corby system of statutory labor. Welcome to Egypt. Welcome to Babylon. Welcome to Rome. Now, that's where you're at, but there's a solution. And that's to start seeking the kingdom. Seeking it. Not jumping into the kingdom, but seeking the kingdom. Start turning around. Start learning what it means to take care of yourselves as a free society. And it doesn't have to be big. It can be really little. The first job they did at Lowe's Hill was they helped somebody move. And they saved money by helping them move. And they had fun. And they got to know each other better. And they got to trust. Who showed up on moving day? That's your Minutemen. Who didn't show up? That's your wait a minute man. That's telling you who you can trust. Now, you give them another chance. But you start building that trust. And you start learning. You start looking in another direction to solve your problems. We got to do baby steps here. But you'll get your chance to run for it. But you got to run together. You got to learn how to stand alone as individuals together. Bound together by an unbreakable bond of invisible love. Now, the legal aspects of creating a congregation of record, what we call a congregation of record, is just amazing, which is the Free Church Report. It's not about withdrawing consent. It's about getting the Egypt out of your own hearts. Preparing. You're in the unrighteous mammon. Mammon is the Aramaic word, unquestionably, for entrusted wealth. That's what mammon is. Federal Reserve created the largest trust in the history of the world. That's what Charles A. Lindbergh said it would do. And he left the country after they passed it because he said it is the end of America. Social Security Act added more to the trust. Your labor, your son's labor, your son's son's labor, your daughter's, everything, forever. Unless something changes things. Well, something's going to change because shift happens. This trust is the mammon, but it's unrighteous because it takes away from your neighbor to provide you with the benefits. It's done by force, not by free will offerings. It's legal, but it's not God's design. And so therefore, you will be made in a new image of a selfish people who care not for their neighbor and really don't care for God. But they will have a form of godliness in their churches, but they will deny the power thereof. And they will go into bondage, and in the day of reckoning, they will cry out to God, but he won't hear them. But you are hearing something, or you wouldn't have. I haven't seen anybody light a match yet. Set me on fire. There's a few serious faces around, but the fact is, you know, I have to say this. And all I'm doing is speaking to you. You will not find me forcing you to contribute to your neighbor's goods.
How do you answer people who say, well, I've paid into this all these years. I deserve what I'm getting.
Okay. It's really simple. It's a Corbin system. The Corbin system is you cast your bread upon the waters. You take care of the widows and orphans and needy while you're working. You help out those people in your community that need help. And you give that help freely so that they will be taken care of. And you've all done that. You've all paid in to help those people out. And now your neighbor, your children, and your children's children should pay in to help you out. But are you going to force them at the point of a gun? Or are you going to allow them the opportunity to be charitable too? Now, I'm not telling anybody they can't collect Social Security. You did pay into it. Be friends with the unrighteous mammon. That's what he's talking about. Be friends with the unrighteous mammon. So that when it fails, not if it fails, when it fails, you will be more suitable for, or be suitable for more righteous habitations. Where's that righteous habitation? The kingdom of God, which is at hand. We were to preach it's at hand. We weren't to preach it's coming in 2,000 years. It's at hand. It's going to become greater and greater, just as Rome has become greater. Rome is only about an eighth of the world at that time. Now we're dealing with the similitude of Rome. You can read Rome versus Us. It's over there. Anybody can take one for free, and I'll tell you all about it. We talk about republics, democracies, kingdoms. Okay. Anybody recognize that painting? Capitol Dome. That's the painting in the Capitol Dome. It's called the Apotheos. Apotheos. When Caesar, that's George Washington right there. If you go on the U.S. government website talking about this painting, talking about the painting in the Capitol Dome, they tell you that this painting, quote, I'm quoting here, this painting raises Washington to the rank of God. That's what it says on the U.S. government website. I went back and checked it again and again, and it still says it there years later. When Caesar came into Rome, there was a civil war. He came into Rome. He was called the Savior of Rome. The Senate elected him Imperator. You look in Collins Latin Dictionary, Imperator means Commander-in-Chief. Commander-in-Chief is a 10-year term of office. You had to take oath of office. You had to be elected to it by the Electoral College of the Senate every 10 years. He was elected 3 times. The other office was Principas Civitas, first citizen, president of Rome. His wife is known as Principas Femina, first lady. That was as the chief executive officer, he had many of the same duties as the executive officer of the United States. But he asked for a third office, Apotheos. That translates in the Greek into originator of gods, appointer of gods. He wanted to be the appointer of gods throughout the empire. There's another guy who was an appointer of gods. All the gods were the magistrates, the judges in the imperial courts that decided imperial matters. You look it up in your Strong's Concordance, the word theos is defined as ruling judge, magistrates. It says magistrates. If you went into a Greek court, you would address the judge as theos. We're led to believe that when you say God, you mean God. There are gods many, Paul says. With the day, remember the day he got his hair cut on the tarmac and everybody complained about he holding up Air Force One to get his hair cut and it cost so much money to the taxpayers and everybody was all watching that on the news and going, oh my goodness, what a waster of tax money. He fired every judge in the United States and hired back the ones he wanted. That didn't get in the news, just the haircut. Isn't that amazing how that happens? When you see these ridiculous stories in the news, you better find out what's going on.
Are you basically saying that when you vote for a president, you're virtually voting for a new god?
It's the voice of the people picking.
Repeat what I said so
I'm okay. This troublemaker down here has asked, are you saying that when you're voting for a different god? I didn't say that. Did I say that?
For a god.
You're voting for the appointer of gods, the appointer of judges. Look, this system is what it is. It is designed after Rome. But remember, God so loved the world. What world? Which word would they use in that phrase? Cosmos. He said he loved Rome. He loved the people of Rome, not the evil they did. He loved Cain, but he would not strive with them forever. He loved Rome. Rome was great. They were lawful. They were great people, but they were getting worse and worse and worse. They formed Rome originally 500 years before Christ after the pattern of Israel, which had gone into apostasy. They threw out the Tarquinian kings and formed a society based on faith, hope, and charity.
I'll show you how much he loved Rome. You know where it said he commanded him to go into all the world?
Right.
Now that word world is not cosmos.
Right. All inhabited places. From the Roman point of view, it would have been the Roman Empire. But in truth, from Jesus' point of view, it included the Teutons and all those others. Basically the Roman Empire, but they did go up to Ireland and stuff. Yeah. Not those particular apostles. There were actually missionaries coming from Ireland before Peter was supposedly to get to Rome, because there were so many people in Jerusalem. They had heard about Jesus all over the Roman Empire. They had heard about Jesus. They were packing them in. This was the biggest event ever. Good thing they had the aqueduct built. But anyway, there's where the gods many. There's gods many. That's what it says. It says there are gods many. Then they actually refer to them as thinking they are gods. So, but they are gods if you elect them, if you choose them. And the president chooses them, or the Congress does and approves them. But anyway, I'm not condemning the system. I'm saying if you go to this system, you will go to the ways of the corruption of Rome. Rome had no divorce, no orphans, no unemployment, almost no alcoholism. It had an all-volunteer army. It had just weights and measures. It had a people that had a sense of justice about everything they did, and they rose to power until, in a time of affluence, they began to weaken themselves and became corrupt and corrupt and corrupt and corrupt until you get to the Roman Empire that began 500 years after it was originally a republic. In Higher Liberty, I talk about Libera Res Publica. That's what Rome was called, free from things public. But Tacitus writes, by the time the emperors came, they referred to it as Res Publica, things public, because the Libera Res Publica only lives in the imagination of men, which can never be. Well, it can be. It's called the Kingdom of God, where men are free from things public because they are governing themselves in righteousness. It's not just seek the kingdom. It's seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It is not righteous to desire your neighbor's wealth. I mean, it's stealing to take it. But if you desire it, you could coerce him into a contract where he has to give up his wealth for your benefit. You want those to be free will offerings. You're not creating the right kinds of bonds. Jesus says, ye also are gods. Is it not written that ye also are gods? How do they deal with that? He doesn't mean divine gods, although we're made in the image of God. You can't live like I'm talking about. You can't be in that Libera Res Publica unless Christ is in you. You have to have Christ in you. And Christ won't dwell in you unless you love what Christ was, what he was doing, what he was saying. You have to be willing to sacrifice yourself as Christ loved the church. I don't want anybody to do anything out of fear. God also showed me things about the sun many years ago, and Jesus said, look for signs in the sun. All this happened at the time of the Roman Empire. Tiberius saw auroras so bright you could read print at night in Rome by the light of the aurora alone. He thought the whole north woods was on fire and actually sent a legion up to help put the fires out. He didn't know what that aurora was, but Jesus said, look for signs in the sun, because Jesus knew what that was. It was the sun blowing off coronal mass ejections, EMPs like you have never seen before. And they can knock out all power. Now, if you're all living in tents, bunch of Indians, no big deal. If you're living in Vesuvius, it'll be a big deal because this also causes volcanic eruptions. It sends a huge amount of energy to the earth. We have magnetic shields that absorbs that energy, but then the energy passes into the poles and it protects us, but it heats up the core. And you see, there were three volcanoes went off at the same time that CME hit and triggered the volcano, the earthquake in Japan. We're not talking about fear. We're talking about loving one another. We're talking about every one of us becoming the faith emergency management auxiliary. And that's what all the churches should be. And there are people in every one of these churches that would get this. And they will wake up to it when they see the need. But right now, for some reason, some of you are waking up right now. You feel it in your hearts. You hear it in your souls. God's calling to you. Whatever God gives you, you have to act upon so that he will give you more. If you do nothing with the talent he gives you, he will take it away from you and give it to somebody else. If he awakens you to the fact that you need to do something, you need to do it. It's in spirit and truth. And for some reason or other, the apathy in the churches today, I'm saved. Jesus is coming. He's going to do it. He's going to come and find out you're not doing it. And he's going to say, get ye from me, you workers of iniquity. Because you haven't been loving your neighbor. You've been disregarding the commandments. You've been coveting your neighbor's goods to the agency of men who exercise authority. And I told you weren't to be that way. I told you to attend to the weightier matters of law, judgment, and mercy, and faith. Injustice is happening every day, and nobody's doing anything about it. We're expecting, well, we're going to complain about Obama because somebody's not doing anything about it. Body of Christ versus body of state, last chapter of the Covenants of the Gods will tell you why a church should not be seeking to be under 501c3. Why a church should not incorporate, why a church should not file a 1023, and does not have to. It says on the form. Churches do not have to file this form. But every one of these churches out here did it. What is going on? It's a collective unconsciousness.
You don't have to pay taxes, right?
You don't have to pay taxes anyway. You're automatically considered exempt even if you do not file the form. That's a direct quote out of 1828 of the IRS codes. You're automatically considered exempt. When I went to these attorneys, Herbert Titus, Bob Olson turns to me and says, I can't figure out why these churches aren't saying this. It's right in the law. Churches are mandatorily accepted from having to file 508c1. Churches don't have to file. Why? Because the churches are another government, one form of government established by Jesus Christ. If you incorporate the law states, if you incorporate under the acts and laws of the state of whatever, all other previous incorporations are null and void as if they never happened. You are no longer the corpus of Christ. By law, you are the corpus of the state. That's what they say. They tell you that. It's in the law books. It's not a secret. I'm not revealing anything. God did not endow government with the power to be the government. You did. By making covenants. What was it? Thou shalt make no covenants with them nor with their gods. They're not talking statues. They're talking judges, rulers, who can exercise authority one over the other. Because it is not to be that way with you if you are to be the children of God. You can't be the children of God and the children of gods at the same time. That's one thing. You can only have one father. Now, it's up to you. Figure out where you want to go, which direction you want to go, and if you want to go where we're going, we'll do everything we can to help you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.